And it's 1:33. You're listening to KYR 89.1. I'm Daniel Breen. We're breaking into our programming this hour to bring you live coverage of Governor Asa Hutchinson's latest daily briefing on the coronavirus outbreak in Arkansas. At yesterday's briefing, we saw here in Arkansas an additional 549 coronavirus cases. That brought the total number of people in the state who have ever tested positive to 54,765. We saw the number of hospitalized Arkansans with COVID-19 remain the same yesterday. That was for a total of 499. And yesterday we did see an additional 10 deaths due to COVID-19 for a total of 641. And again, you are listening to KYR 89.1. This is Governor Asa Hutchinson's daily briefing on the coronavirus outbreak in Arkansas. Now we go live to the governor speaking from the state capitol.
Thank you for joining us for today's Friday COVID-19 update. I'm pleased to be joined by Secretary Jose Romero from the Department of Health, as well as Chief of Staff Stephanie Williams, and also Secretary Solomon Graves with the Department of Corrections. I first want to talk about some good news in Arkansas in terms of our economic recovery, and that is the unemployment numbers that were announced today for the month of July that reduced our state unemployment rate to 7.1%. This is down a full percentage point of that in June at 8.1%. And in May, as you know, it was at 9.6%. So over the last 2 months, we've reduced our state unemployment rate from 9.6% to 7.1%. And the current unemployment rate is 3% below the national average. This is good news. Arkansans are going back to work. Jobs are being created. To put it in more personal terms, whenever the unemployment was reduced, that means that there's 14,000 more people working today than there were at the beginning of July. And so we continue to consider that good news for Arkansas, showing a recovery of our economy. And we are creating jobs, but as long as the pandemic continues, we're still going to struggle in terms of our tourism, in terms of anything impacted by travel that is constrained. And that will result in a significant number of employed. And so we have to really keep at it, hoping that this pandemic will end, because that's whenever it will signal a full economic recovery. But Arkansas is doing well with that reduced unemployment rate. In terms of cases, let me go ahead and take that message. And today we had an increase of 887 cases, and so that is a higher number than we've experienced in the last few days. That brings our total numbers to 55,652. We have 10 additional hospitalizations. That brings us to 509, and sadly we have really the largest number of deaths in a 24-hour period that's been recorded at 22. That brings us to 663 deaths as a result of COVID-19, and that's certainly a sad day for many Arkansas families. Dr. Romero will have more information on the details of those. In terms of testing, we had another very robust day in testing with 6,396 test results over the last 24 hours, and that shows a continued trend of strong, robust testing here in the state of Arkansas. Let's go on to the graphs, and let's go through this just a little bit slower. You can see the today, that's about the fourth highest day that we've had, so we're not anywhere close to where we've been on a couple of high days, but that is a significant new chunk of cases that has been created in the last 24 hours. You'll see the pattern here in just a moment. Go to the 7-day rolling average, and you'll see that uptick as a result of that higher number today. I hope that that is not reflective of where we'll be tomorrow or the next day, but I want to spend some more time talking about that and challenging everyone as to what we need to do. And then if you go to our hospitalized, You see that has an increase of 10 as well. And then if you'll go to the number of active cases, whereas we've had a number of days of downward trend in active cases, we do have an uptick here in active cases because of the increased number that we have brought on that has received the infection. And then we wanted to look at this. This reminds everybody we have work to do in Arkansas. And so you've got the public health regions in Arkansas, and you've got five of those. And of those five public health regions, you see right now four of them with an uptick. Now, you got to put it in perspective that you have the long downward trend in Northwest Arkansas, even though you have a little spike today, that's clearly overall a downward trend. But you've got a downward overall trend with Central Arkansas, the same thing with the blue, which is Northeast Arkansas. They're on a downward trend, but you've seen that that downward trend was broken because of the cases in the last 24 hours. And the same thing with the green, which is Southwest Arkansas. They've been very flat, slight uptick, as I mentioned today. And so every region of the state, you can see this on the information provided by the Department of Health. It's important to know that we have a lot of cases that are out there that you could get infected by if you're not careful, you don't socially distance, and we've got to remember that. And then on the testing side of it, we're getting back to where we like to be. You've got a much more robust public, commercial lab testing in the red, and you can see that it's getting stronger and hope we'll continue that. And then in terms of the positivity, we're getting better. 10% positivity, we're down from that. Obviously, there'll be some backfill for the last couple of days, but you can see the trend, and the next one I think shows the trend, that's just going down. So the positivity is the better news for us today. And with that, let me come back and just talk about that increase today of over 800. And I was trying to figure out, you know, yesterday we had 549 new cases, today 887. You know, why is there such a variance between one day and the next day? Well, you know, it could be that we had a large number of cases that came in from an inmate population. It could be that we had a cluster in some area or multiple areas of multiple cases that impacted us on that one particular day. But clearly, what we're seeing is that we've had a number of clusters from group gatherings. They're not associated with schools. They're associated with other activities that go on in the routine of life. But that is not smart. It is not good, and that leads to cases, and that leads to deaths. And so we have to be mindful of this. We're not back to normal. We have more work to be done, and we're asking those in the schools to socially distance and wear a mask. And so if you go to a different kind of social gathering, is not the same logic and necessity applied to that gathering? So please make sure that the environment that you go to, you think it through. Who's going to be there? Are they going to be from out of state? Have they traveled there? Are there people I know and have have a relationship with? Are there going to be a whole bunch of strangers there? What's going to be the environment there? Will people be wearing masks? Because you might go in and set a good example by wearing a mask, but if somebody else doesn't, then that doesn't help a whole lot. You need to have the team effort in wearing the mask, and you've got to ask yourself that question as you go to a particular event. And so just be careful, use common sense, and we can work together to reduce those cases. I did want to announce today that we have completed our goal of 100% testing of our state prison system. That was an objective that we set about a month and a half ago. It's taken a lot of work, and I want to congratulate Secretary Graves and Dexter Payne and the team there and all the employees and WellPath as well for the extra work that they have put in. National Guard has provided assistance. But the result is that we've tested 14,650 inmates. And of those 14,650 inmates, we've had 5,120 test positive. That is roughly a 35% positivity rate of our inmate population. But as Secretary Graves will point out, over the last 2 weeks, as we finished this mass testing effort, the positivity rate has been reduced to 4%. And so that's encouraging news that we are reducing those that are turning up positive in the prison population. We've also tested 4,728 staff, and that positivity rate is much lower. We've only had 378 that's been positive among the staff. And so that's a total of 19,378 of our inmates and our staff that have been tested, and that completes that effort, although this will need to be ongoing from time to time in the prison population to keep a handle on it in the future, and Secretary Graves will have more comments on that. At this time, if Secretary Romero, Dr. Romero could come, and then followed by our Secretary Graves, and then I've asked Stephanie Williams to make two announcements that are very, very important coming from the Department of Health that everybody will be interested in hearing. Secretary Romero.
And this is Dr. Jose Romero approaching the podium. He is the Secretary of the Arkansas Department of Health. You're listening to KYR 89.1.
To present a few more of the numbers, let me begin with individuals on a ventilator. They have increased by 12 to 120. I will return to the deaths and give more detail on that. We have a total of 49,135 individuals recovered in the state. That's an increase of 677 from yesterday. Active cases at this time are 5,854. With regard to counties, 15 counties are greater than 20 cases each, and they are as follows. Pulaski County in position number one at 80, Washington County 57, Benton 47 cases, Sebastian County 38, Pope County 33, Stone County 30, Faulkner 29, Lone Oak 25, Craighead 24, Crawford 23, Crittenden 22, Sevier 21, and the counties of Garland, Independence, and Poinsett each have 20. So returning to the deaths, as mentioned by the governor, unfortunately, we now have 663 deaths in the state. This is an increase of 22, the largest number we've had in a single day. Looking at those 22 cases, 11 of these occurred in nursing home facilities, seven of which occurred from a single county. Four of these deaths were from July, but still leaves 18 deaths from this particular day. So this draws attention to the importance of maintaining this population, these vulnerable patients, in isolation and protecting them as much as possible. And because of that, we have rather, we have defined when a nursing home can open up for visitors. And it's because the visitors themselves or the nursing staff themselves or the staff itself can introduce the virus into the home. So while those restrictions seem harsh, they are there for a reason. 30 to 40% of all Americans that have died in, because they are in nursing homes or in congregate facilities. So we need to protect this population. Lastly, I want to close by talking about notifications of end of quarantine for athletes. So the health department will issue letters ending periods of quarantine, but that does not mean that the athlete can return to play immediately. They still need to be cleared for play by the physician of the child or athlete before engaging in physical activity, especially vigorous physical activity. And we want to make sure that that parents, trainers, coaches understand the difference between the release from quarantine by the health department and return to play, which needs to be authorized by a physician. So with this, I will turn it over to Secretary Graves.
And up next, this is Solomon Graves, the Secretary of the Arkansas Department of Corrections. This is KYR 89.1.
And Governor, I want to begin by, as always, thanking you for your continued leadership of the state during these challenging times. I am here today to provide some additional detail on the mass testing efforts completed by the department over the last 2.5 weeks. During that period of time, we set a goal of testing just over 8,000 inmates within our care and custody. The final number that was tested was 8,080. Of those, we have gotten results back on 6,699. Of the results returned, 6,406 were negative. The balance of that, 293, were positive, which comes out to a 4.3% positivity rate, as the governor highlighted, which is reflective of the mitigation efforts that we continue to implement within both the Division of Correction and the Division of Community Correction. We still have 1,381 tests pending. I want to echo the statement made by the governor and take time to thank the staff within both the Division of Correction and the Division of Community Correction who have faced these challenging times with a level of excellence that we would expect from them. These are dedicated members of our law enforcement community, and in my book, they are heroes. Also want to thank the Division of Emergency Management and the National Guard for their contributions. We would not have been able to complete this testing effort as quickly as we did without the support from our guardsmen. And finally, I do want to acknowledge our offender population, the men and women who live in our facilities. That is their home. And over these last few months, it has been a challenging time for that inmates within our care and custody, but they have been supportive of our efforts and largely cooperative, not just in terms of testing, but also regarding the wearing of masks within our facilities. Last thing I wanted to highlight, there has been some talk of the challenge of social distancing within a correctional environment. And I want to highlight the fact that over these last months during the pandemic, we have, with the governor's assistance, been able to reduce our population within the Division of Correction by 10%. That is due in part to the slowing of new commitments from the local courts, but it is also due to the fact that we were able to implement a modified Emergency Powers Act release program at the end of April, which generated 834 early releases from the Division of Correction. And yesterday morning, the Board of Correction, with the governor's approval, authorized the moving up of 481 inmates, moving up of their release dates. This second group of inmates were previously approved by the parole board. Most of them have release plans that are already ready to be implemented in the community. They were simply waiting for that transfer eligibility date to hit. So we'll be able to move these inmates out earlier and create additional capacity for space within our facilities. And Governor, again, thank you.
This is Stephanie Williams, Chief of Staff of the Health Department.
And I want to express my appreciation to the Governor for letting me make these two announcements. The first relates to the medical marijuana cards. In April, we extended the expiration date of the cards, and the six-month extension will come to an end September 30th. So we wanted to let people know that they need to make plans to renew their applications so that they don't have a delay in receiving those renewals. The process can still be done either online or by paper. and also the required medical certification. They can receive that certification through a telemedicine visit. So either they can see their doctor in person or continue to use telemedicine. But those requirements will go back into effect after September 30th. So we also wanted to alert folks that we've had some reports of fraud, and this stems from contact tracing. On the good side, we have now 600 contact tracers that are actively calling Arkansans every day, but unfortunately, criminals have taken this opportunity to call and pose as contact tracers. So these individuals are asking questions about bank accounts, credit card numbers, cash, and that is something that a legitimate contact tracer will never do. So we just want people to be aware, and if they want to verify, there is a number that they can call. The number on the slide is 800-803-7847. So if you have a concern about a contact tracing call or want to verify that it was legitimate, you can certainly feel free to call that number. Also, the two providers that are making these calls each have a unique phone number that they are using that can be helpful for identifying the caller as legitimate. The first number is 877-AR-COVE-19, which is 877-272-6819. The second number that's being used is 833-COVE-19. So that's COD-2019. I'm sorry, that took me a minute. I was trying to make sure I was saying that correctly. It is CVD. I think I said it incorrectly the first time. So let me start again. 833-CVD-2019. And the number is 833-283-2019. And then we also have had a report of someone that's posed as a health inspector. And this individual went into an establishment and actually said, you know, I'm here to do your health inspection, but you'll need to pay me $25 to complete your inspection and give you your report. That's also not legitimate. Our inspectors will never ask for payment. There's no need to pay for those inspections. And they also should have identification that they can present to verify who they are. So anytime there's a concern that someone might not be who they say they are, please feel free to tell them you're not going to pay them and that you're going to call and verify that they are who they say they are and represent the department. We'll be happy to work with you to do that. The number for the environmental department to reach them directly is 501-661-2171. That number during business hours will get you immediately to someone who can verify those credentials. You can also call our main number or also report it online. You don't have to make a phone call. Our website is healthy.arkansas.gov. And down at the bottom of the screen, there's a red box. And that red box, it doesn't say a complaint or concern. It's very nicely worded, but it basically says if you have an inquiry, want to leave a comment, or have a question, contact us here. That is the box. That red box, when you click on it, there'll be a pop-up that lets you send an email that goes directly to our communications office who routes it to the department it needs to be sent to. So those are the most the easiest, most common ways to contact us. And we ask that you do that if you have any questions. And also, if there are any questions about the renewal process for the medical marijuana cards, also feel free to contact us that way for a prompt response to your question. Thank you, Governor. Goodness.
Thanks, Deputy. Any questions?
I have a question.
Very concerned about the persons that are going back into school buildings, not just the bus drivers, but the teachers, the administrators, the educators, as well as the students. And we're hearing that many students still don't have the Wi-Fi access that they need. They don't have the laptops. And teachers, as you know, are resigning. So what are you going to do to help provide safety and equity in the Arkansas for public schools?
Well, as you may or may not know, of course, we have provided Wi-Fi access points, put $20 million so that we can try to help the local school districts as they have to shift to online education, that they will be able to provide their rural students with those access points. In addition, of course, we set aside $1 million of PPE to assist the local school districts if they were behind in their order, even though they have additional money to do it. And so we're working very hard to make sure that the schools are ready for education this year. And it takes a teamwork to do that. But I think your question points out that the best option, because of equity concerns, is that we have the classes in the school facilities. That provides the best opportunity for all to get a good education, and they don't have the same handicaps because of where they might live. Yes?
On the prison testing subject, now that you've done the testing on 100% of the population, what's the plan going forward? When are, in terms of testing at prisons?
You know, we want to be able to not have to do it once every month, but we want to be able to regularly test in the prison. And we will set up a plan for that in the future. Did you have anything more on that, Dr. Romero? So we'll be working on the next phase of that as to exactly how to consistently have some testing protocols in the prison. Obviously, we'll be doing it if there are any symptomatics or if there's one positive case. We do have, you know, our protocols in that we go in and test all of those that might have close contact with them. Yes.
Governor, you said several times over the past month or so, we have time to get the spread under control by the time school starts. Now that it's right around the corner and we have a day like today with not great numbers, does that give you pause? Does that show you that we have not succeeded in getting those down by the time school starts?
Well, it tells me that, you know, we are not being disciplined in all of our activities every day. It tells me that our communities need to do more to support those that want to have classroom instruction, that want to have their football team or their dance team or their cheer team to be able to participate this year. That takes community support to make that happen. Obviously, we have a self-interest to be healthy and to protect ourselves, but it's also about the team effort here in Arkansas. And it just tells me we have to really be focused on that. One day doesn't tell the story, so let's continue to look at it. And that's one of the benefits, too, that, you know, with the school district level of data that ACHI and the Department of Health is presenting that we talked about yesterday, this will help everybody know not just that we have 800 new cases statewide, but what does it mean in their community? And what does it mean over time? And it helps them to make good decisions. So that's the process we should do.
Governor, when we closed the schools down, we were in single digits back in March, and now we're in triple digits. People are dying. We're almost at 700 deaths. How can you say that we are providing safety and equity for students going back into school buildings when we know in other states people are dying, that children are dying, teachers are dying, superintendents are dying? How do you feel comfortable?
I think I answered that question just a moment ago. Let's go to the next one.
Teachers need to quarantine even after they have had a negative test for 14 deaths.
Even after they've had a negative test?
Yes, sir.
All right. I'm going to let Dr. Romero answer that question. That's a question that's come up a number of times. It's very important to get it right.
This is Health Secretary Dr. Jose Romero.
So that will depend on the exposure of the individual. So if the individual is being tested for COVID, there has been a significant exposure. There should be a 14-day period of quarantine, even with a negative test. So allow me to take this moment to explain again. A negative test is not a definitive negative for that person. That person may still be infected and still be within the incubation period. That only looks at that particular day. A person who's infected can develop symptoms within 14 days of being infected. So a negative 5 days does not mean that that patient will not develop symptoms later, and that is why they need to go in quarantine for a period of 14 days. Yes.
School District Michael Poor said that we need to give more deep thought into how to make modifications for teachers who are at high health risk. Do you agree that modifications need to be made for these teachers, and what do you think they should be?
Absolutely. Whenever you look at a teacher with a high health risk, you've got to look at different things that can be done. It could be that they can simply work virtually and assist in the virtual education. It could be that it's necessary to put plexiglass in their classroom that will add a level of protection. So all depending upon the circumstances, the need, and how that can be worked out with the school district. I've seen perfect examples of how a school district has accommodated those health needs, and every superintendent, every school district should be looking at that issue in reference to their teachers. Obviously, we have to have the education done, but there is some flexibility, and I applaud those districts that are trying to go the extra mile to provide the protection, but also the flexibility as it's needed.
Is there any plan to open up visitation again at prisons?
Not at this time. You can see it's still a very sensitive environment, and while we've gone through and we've tested everybody, that could go awry. The progress we've made, if we have something that comes in from the outside that leads to infection. So at this time, regretfully, that's not a possibility. I do understand and, that we do have some accommodations for video visitation. Is that right? Do you want to expand on that?
And this is Corrections Secretary Solomon Graves again.
When we suspended visitation in March, we at the same time decreased the rates, not just for video visitation, but also for telephone calls. While it's not the same and it would be the preference of the families and loved ones of our inmates for them to visit their loved ones in person, we have made video visitation and telephone calls as cheap as possible for the inmates to utilize. We have also increased the amount of time that equipment is available to inmates in their barracks to make up for the increased demand on those systems.
Let's go remotely. Is there any question remotely?
Yes, Governor. Governor, this is Josh White with KAIT. I was calling to see if you guys could tell which county saw the seven people die from one nursing home in one county?
The question was as to which county was referenced that we had seven in a nursing home.
Yes.
And can I give that?
Yes, sir. Little River County.
Yeah, it's Little River County. Next question.
Governor, spike in Washington and Benton counties be attributed to anything specific, like a workplace or a group gathering? And does that large spike across the state concern you about schools opening Monday?
No, Benton County and Washington County, they've been on a good trend. Obviously, today we've had them back on the top 20 list, and that's not good, but we want to look at it for a couple of days, and we've got to look at more in depth on these cases as to whether it is just broadly in the community or because we had increased testing that day. So as we get more information, we'll be able to answer that more clearly, but that's all we have right now.
Governor, this is Mike McNeil at MagnoliaReporter.com. It appears that the northern Gulf Coast is going to be struck next week by two hurricanes in the Tuesday-Wednesday period. And as you know, during hurricane season, it's common for South Arkansas hotels and homes and churches to open themselves to potentially tens of thousands of storm evacuees from states like Texas, Louisiana, and Mississippi. However, this year we're dealing with a situation in which the COVID infection rates in those states are higher than our own. I'm wondering, first, does Arkansas plan to discourage hurricane evacuees from crossing into the state? And second, in the alternative, will Arkansas create special evacuation centers so that Gulf Coast evacuees can be kept separate from Arkansas's general population?
Thank you, Mike. That's a very good question. And the answer is that we want to monitor the storms and the any anticipation of the necessity of shelters that we might be able to provide if necessary. Obviously, we don't, that's not preferable, and we hope that whether it's northern Louisiana or Mississippi can provide the shelters away from the impacted area that's needed. But we will work through our emergency management to see if there are some needs that we need to fill. In terms of the normal flow of people just getting out of the storm area and staying in a hotel or something in South Arkansas for a time, that's not something that we are anticipating foreclosing or prohibiting or putting special requirements in, because you know we have to be careful about movement, but the way you're careful is to socially distance and wear a mask. And so that's where we need to have our, whether it's our hotel owners, it's our restaurant owners, to make sure the public health guidelines are followed, that the people who come in here need to understand we have a mask mandate and they're expected to follow that. And if they do, then we can manage that. And so that's our approach to it. But as we monitor it and we have to make some adjustments, then we will do what is necessary. Next question.
Governor, this is Andrew with AP. The White House Coronavirus Task Force in a report on August 2nd had said that Arkansas is in the red zone for cases. Wanted to see if, did that report, did that give you any concern or any pause about going forward with the in-person plan for schools? And did you consider any of the recommendations in there, including closing establishments where social distancing can't occur, like bars and nightclubs? And had a separate question on the large gatherings you were talking about. I was wondering if you could, if you or Dr. Romero could elaborate a little on what types of gatherings are you talking about? Are there specific examples of what those are that are causing concern?
All right, I'll let Dr. Romero take a shot at that and let him think about that for a second. But in terms of the first part of your question, you referenced the August 2nd coronavirus White House task force report on different states. And of course, there's been a subsequent, actually probably two subsequent reports since then. And while they have still indicated that we have some red areas in our state, I talked to Dr. Birx. We reviewed the most recent one, and she commented that based upon where we're going, that we likely will move out of the red area hopefully next week. So we'll see if that happens, but she noted our positivity rate is going the right direction and we'll get under that 10%, which is one of the keys there. And you can see that from our graphs this week that we've continued to make progress there. And the second part of the answer is absolutely. You know, I pay attention to those reports. These are guidelines. You know, they've made some recommendations, and I went over with Dr. Birx that we've taken a little bit different approach, that we have concentrated on enforcement of our guidelines versus economic sanctions on businesses. And so we have put out enforcement of our ABC, as Mike Moore talked about earlier in this week. 90% compliance rate, 10%, you know, we've issued some citations or verbal warnings. And so we are taking those steps that really complement and accomplish the same goal as to what the recommendations of the Coronavirus Task Force suggested. Is there any other question?
And does that mean that, is Arkansas still in the red zone at this point?
Well, you know, it depends on whose red zone and how you define the red zones. We put out our graphs yesterday, our criteria yesterday, which is different than what the White House criteria is. And but we feel comfortable with that. And it gives, we identified, I believe it was 19 school districts that we considered in a risk, the highest level of risk, which is the red zone, of community spread. And again, we pointed out you've got to look at that more deeply. You know, if you've got a human development center that's got an outbreak there, that doesn't impact the schools. And so that's one criteria or one fact that you look at in determining the action. But that's what we're following is what we outlined yesterday with what we presented, that every school patron can go and look on the website and they can see what their area looks like in terms of the level of risk and make appropriate decisions, and we will. That impacts us as to how we make decisions on schools as we see positive cases. Just a moment. Dr. Romero, did you want to answer the other part of Andrew's question?
This is Health Secretary Dr. Yes, Jose Andrew, Romero.
There are large community gatherings, such as pools would be considered one. Large congregations that could expose you at risk for, during church. So those are some important areas. Also, I think I want to add on to what Governor mentioned earlier, that Dr. Birx did meet with us. And one of the things that she pointed out was that transmission of the virus is now also occurring in local, smaller community settings, that is, in neighborhoods, that is, neighborhood gatherings, or in extended family get-togethers, where the thought is that they're all part of the same family, there's less risk, but they are coming in from other areas. Even if you have a family gathering of 10 or more people, it's important to keep in mind the issue of social distancing and of using a mask when you are close together. Because even within a family, you can have significant spread of the virus if it enters.
Governor, there are people who are receiving more and more eviction notices. What are you doing to protect people from being evicted during the coronavirus? And secondly, we know that you approved about 2,000 people to be released from our state prisons. And we heard earlier that we're at 800. When will the other 1,200 be released?
That's up to the... I don't know about the numbers there that you're referencing. Secretary Graves, do you want to address that last part of that question?
And this is Solomon Graves, Secretary of the Arkansas Department of Corrections.
In April, the Board of Corrections approved approximately 1,400 inmates to be considered for early release. Of that 1,400, the parole board, which is within their statutory responsibilities, approved only 900 of those individuals to be released, approximately 907.
There's another question. In terms of evictions, there is a rental assistance program through our Department of Finance Authority, and so there's funds that are available there for rental assistance. There is money through our community foundation, through various nonprofit groups for rental assistance. And so that's what we see as the opportunity for those that are struggling to get that kind of assistance. And we continue to monitor to see if any additional action needs to be taken.
I have a question about the mask mandate. Is there any type of like central repository where we can tell whether there's been enforcement or people being cited for this? And do you have numbers on that?
I do not. I'm not aware of any citations. I'm certainly aware of the enforcement and the citations given by Alcoholic Beverage Control, but that's for business establishments. But there's not any repository of information if there's any individual action that's taken, and I'm not aware of that.
Governor, good afternoon. It's Neil Gladner in Hot Springs. We just heard Dr. Romero give us the medical reason again today to stay quarantined for 14 days even after a negative test. What do you say to Arkansans who would say, I can't afford to be out of work that long, my boss won't let me be out of work that long? Oh, and just yesterday you said in certain circumstances, nurses at schools can go back. What do you tell people in a practical sense about that?
I would say that this is a very, very tough virus. These are not rules that are arbitrarily set by the Department of Health. There's not rules that anybody wants to impose. They're rules that public health experts say are necessary because of the uniqueness of this particular virus. And as you can see today, we had over 20 deaths in Arkansas because of this virus. So you have to take it seriously. And if the public health experts say you need 14 days of quarantine or you could be exposing someone else, that should be listened to. It is a tremendous hardship. It impacts every one of us, whether it's, you know, the state or whether it is the workforce for an individual company. The worst is whenever you're an individual entrepreneur, you depend upon your own labor for your own income. These are not good circumstances, and so we understand that. That's one of the reasons we're trying to put out additional economic assistance, individual assistance, so that we can live through these tough times and follow the public health guidelines. But these are not requirements that are put out there because the public health arbitrarily thinks that's a good idea. It's because this virus and the toughness of it says if you don't follow those restrictions, you could be really hurting somebody else. One more question and we'll be done. That always has a nice calm ending to everything. So you got what you need? Did you get? All right, with that, this is the weekend. I hope everybody has a great weekend and a safe weekend. And let's be good, and we'll see you Monday. Thank you.
And that was Governor Asa Hutchinson speaking in his daily briefing on the coronavirus outbreak in Arkansas. You're listening to 89.1 KYR Little Rock, a listener-supported service of UA Little Rock in partnership with UAMS. A lot of information in today's briefing. Unfortunately, not a lot of time to talk about it. Of course, do listen this afternoon during All Things Considered. And as always, listen live online and catch up on all of our coronavirus-related reporting at our website, kuar.org. Today in Arkansas, we saw an additional 887 new coronavirus cases. That is the fourth highest single-day increase that we have seen since the pandemic began. Again, 887 new cases today in the past 24 hours, bringing the total number of people who have tested positive in Arkansas to 55,652. We've also seen the largest single-day increase in Arkansans who have died from COVID-19 today. In the past 24 hours, we have seen 22 deaths from COVID-19. That brought the state's death toll there to 663. We saw an additional 10 hospitalizations for a total of 509, an additional 12 Arkansans on a ventilator for a total of 120. A little bit more on the deaths. We heard Health Secretary Dr. Jose Romero saying that, again, 22 deaths recorded or received by the state in the past 24 hours. 11 of those were from nursing homes. 7 of those nursing home deaths were from a single county, Little River County, in southwest Arkansas, just north of Texarkana. 4 of those 22 total deaths seen in the past 24 hours, 4 of those were late reporting from July, but still that does give us 18 deaths of Arkansans from COVID-19 in the past 24 hours. Again, the single highest single-day increase in new COVID-19 deaths that we have seen here in Arkansas since the pandemic began, and the fourth highest increase of new coronavirus cases that we have seen since the pandemic began here in Arkansas. For a total of 887 new cases today, for a total of 55,652. Again, thank you for listening. This is KYR News.